RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Always good to talk horses with Joe on a Sunday morning, and plenty to talk about with action right around the country yesterday. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Warren, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, in particular mine, Gerda. I hope she's having a nice morning. And, yes, a great day of racing, wasn't it, yesterday across Australia, with the interstates taking centre stage, Group 1 racing at Morphettville. And it was a great day out on the track for the Brad Spicer racing colours.
Absolutely, and a terrific day for Ethan Brown. Hopefully we're going to catch up with Ethan in this hour. His first Group 1 win, and the stable, the Mara and Eustace stable, will over provide a similar thrill for Ben Allen recently with Moorabbin, and they've got such artillery and such a great range of jockeys at their disposal. And terrific performance to have Snap Dancer run the way she did yesterday, and what a brave on-speed performance from that wider draw.
It certainly was, and it's all about the start with her, isn't it? If she gets away cleanly, she can be pretty hard to catch, and that was the case yesterday in Adelaide. Brad Spicer is our guest on the Talking Horses segment this morning. Congratulations, Brad. That terrific win. You weren't there, but I'm sure cheering her home hard from home.
Yes, Joe, thank you for that. Morning, Warren. Huge thrill. And I wasn't there. I was originally planned to go, Joe, but my young bloke tested positive with COVID during the week, so I had to shelve all those plans and cancel, and watched her on the couch and sort of got up halfway down the straight and didn't... I'm not one to go the early crow, but I couldn't see her losing from about the 250-metre mark, so I sort of let fly a bit with a few emotions, and it was terrific to see her win. Probably more important, too, for Ethan Brown. I've had a lot to do with Ethan for, you know, probably since about 2017. When he was an apprentice, and we give him a couple of rides, and he's such a great talent. And it probably gave me a huge thrill to see him break his duck Group 1 level on one of our horses. It was terrific.
She's a daughter of Schwa Seer. He's been some stallion for you.
Yeah, I was just actually talking to Troy Courses last night. He rang up after the race to say congratulations, and we're just running through all the great horses we've had through him, through Star Spangled Banner, and even the Wow Signal with How Romantic. That line is just, it's the gift that keeps giving, Joe, and to have, I think Schwazi's had 12 Group 1 winners now, and to be involved in two of them, you know, you sort of pinch yourself a little bit. You're part of history, I suppose, and he was a horse that I loved, and I watched him down the straight many times, and followed him, and obviously when he went over to Europe and was the flagship bearer for us over in Europe, and It just keeps continuing. It's fantastic for him, fantastic for Coolmore, fantastic for us.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago we lost Schwa Seer. He had a great innings, but I'm sure you would have shed a tear when he passed.
Yeah, shed a tear, and a little bit frustrating that we can't keep buying him, because I've been a great supporter of his. Just a wonderful animal. And if anyone ever got to Flemington or seen him all around the world, he was just a beast of a horse. He's so strong and wore the pacifiers, and he'd come out snorting on the track, and he had so much presence.
Yeah. So this mare, Snap Dancer, she's an interesting story in herself. She was pinhooked as a weanling by Seamus Mills, who bought her originally for $60,000, and she obviously went back through the yearling sales where you picked her up.
Yeah, obviously she was a nice weanling, and Seamus bought her, and then went to the sales, and I remember walking around with Weary at the sales and just thought she had such lovely leg and scope, and we actually thought that she'd get over a bit of ground, Joe, and be a, maybe an Oaks style of horse, being out of a Galileo mare, and certainly got that wrong, but happy to put my hand up and watch her yesterday win over 1,200. But, you know, she just kept developing, Joe. She was one of those yearlings you could take home, and she must have put on 100 kilos since the first 12, 18 months, and she's such a powerful animal now. And I think James McDonald hit the nail on the head at the Magic Millions this year, that she's so brilliant, just don't waste time stretching her out, because we always thought she'd get out to a mile, but just with her brilliance, and you seen that yesterday, she sort of bounced and was so dominant from the front, and I think we'll just stick to the sprints from now on.
So what would be the immediate plan from here?
Look, the plan was always to go to the Tats Tiara, and I spoke to Dave directly after the race yesterday and sort of flagged, do we go to the Goodwood on that? And she's such a a really effective mare, fresh. So I think we'll just go to Queensland and give it that, you know, the last run up there, and then make a beeline for the Magic Millions again. All the boys love getting up there and having a bit of fun, and it's very attractive race for a horse like her. She, you know, she gets that limit of 60 kilos. She's now a Group 1 winner, so she meets a lot of those horses pretty well at the weights again, and that attractive prize money, you sort of you can't knock it back, Joe.
Yeah, and yesterday's win unquestionably boosts her value as a broodmare prospect. She's now a five-year-old, rising six soon. I guess from that perspective, commercially, you're going to be faced with some decisions in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, look, it's probably going to be her last season, I'd say, on the track, so... We've just got to make sure we place her really well. She's not overly taxed either. She's only had, I think, for a rising six-year-old, she's only had about 18 starts. So, look, if she can have another, say, six on the track, eight possibly, you know, leading into next year when she heads to the sales, I think that'll be a perfect sort of number for her. Try and keep her under 25 starts in her career, and hopefully she can go on and make her mark as a broodmare, which I'm sure she will. She's just got all the right attributes. She's just so strong, and she's got a lovely nature, and I just think she'd be perfect as a mum later on.
Yeah. To sell or not to sell, the way you're talking, you will be putting her through the sales, but is it ever tempting as you become more invested in the industry, Brad, to keep a mare of this calibre and try breeding from her yourself?
I'd probably love to, Joe, but when you've got so many owners and a horse, it makes it very hard to try and make decisions, and I've always said that you sort of leave that to the experts, especially with a horse like her. She's so valuable, and a lot of those guys are in it for racing and not breeding. So obviously they'll cash in and just keep reinvesting in the industry, which we hope to see for many, many more years to come.
Yeah, it is quite extraordinary now, the value of mares like this in the sales ring. Each year we see records getting smashed.
Yeah, like if you can get a good Group 1 mare now, it's sort of, you know, you're talking stallion dollars, Joe, for that bottom end. So, you know, you can spend on nice fillies at the sales and get the rewards. Look, you know, send Shout at the Bar, made huge money at the chairman's sale. So, I think, you know, we're in a very healthy state at the moment, whether it's racing or breeding. I think all the powers to be need to be commended for the way they've set up our industry. It's, you know, obviously the mecca around the world, and hopefully it continues that way.
And how did you fare at this season's round of yearling sales, Brad? Always tough to get a good one. How did your budget end up getting spent?
It was very hard, Joe. It's probably the most frustrating yearling sale season we've had, and I'm sure I'm not on my own saying that. Just there's so many new players in the industry, and they're all spending money, and I've probably lost a bit of my bulletproof armour that I used to have at the starts when I get in there and be fairly strong, and I've sort of just wound back a little bit, and we went to New Zealand and I thought we bought really well over there, Joe, this year. We bought a few yearlings over there, but it was really hard, tough. You know, there was just so much money around for the good horses, and as I said, I think that just reflects the way how our whole industry has been set up and managed, and you know, the prize money is just unbelievable. You know, you've seen that prize money war between Victoria and New South Wales, and it's only benefiting all the owners.
And you have been known to scour the international sales for stock. Now that restrictions have opened again with international travel, is that back on the agenda?
Yeah, I'll be heading up to Tattersalls. I think we leave on the 1st of October this year. And heading over there for book one and possibly book two. So been doing that for quite a while now, since 2018, and just buying two colts a year, and it seems to be working really well. And now I'm on my next mission to hopefully land a Melbourne Cup or a Caulfield Cup winner. That's the plan going forward.
Oh, that's fantastic, Brad. You've done so well since you ventured out on your own and made this a full-time gig. How long ago was that now?
So I probably started part-time in about 2005, Joe, and then when Star Spangled Banner won the Guineas, we went full-time from then. So in 2009 was a full-time gig. So it seems so long ago, but it's a wonderful industry, and I'm so grateful to be sort of welcomed in and be taught by some of the the gun bloodstock experts in the industry, and I've got to thank them. You know, obviously the Corsons and George Smith's been an amazing mentor for me. Not only me, there's been a lot of guys come through under George, and I can't thank him enough. And it was just like going to college, really, doing a degree under George. And obviously he's a massive part of these wins for us, because he really taught me everything I know.
It's been a wonderful journey for you, the Cullers, and a host of owners over the course of time. Brad, what would you say has been the biggest highlight thus far?
Highlight? Probably getting Kingsville Dream back, Joe, from that horrific injury, and seeing him win the Turnbull was probably most satisfying, and probably my most emotional win in the sport. But obviously every Group 1 win, you know, just like yesterday, you've got to savour, because you never know when the next one's going to come, because it's such a hard gig trying to get to that level. But, yeah, I'd say Kingsville Dream, just because of the emotion that was attached to it.
Yeah. And syndication, Brad, is such a vital part of the industry, and more so than ever before now, bringing so many new players and the smaller level investors in, adding participants all the time, year in, year out, to the sport, which, you know, it all goes round, it all helps to build the industry. How many owners, roughly, do you think you might have introduced to the sport over the years?
Oh, look, I've never really kept a number on that, Joe, but I'm sure it's, you know, you'd be in the hundreds, or, you know, up to the thousands over the years. And it's a really nice arm to the industry. You know, you see My Racehorse coming through now. It's giving those mums and dads starting at a lower level, and hopefully they graduate and then they just take that next step every year. And, you know, who knows, they might be our big breeders in 25 years to come. So, you know, I think it's terrific the way it's all embraced here in Australia. It probably hasn't been embraced right around the world, but we're starting to see that a little bit more in Europe now and America, and it just gives so many people so much fun for not a lot of outlay.
Yeah, as you say, we should never underestimate the smaller scale investors, as that Paul Kelly song goes, from little things, big things grow. And all it takes is to introduce one small owner who, as you say, could end up being a huge breeder or owner on a larger scale. So you never know where things can start. But great to see you have success with Snap Dancer yesterday, Brad, and all the best with her campaign in Queensland. And longer term, we'll look forward to seeing what she makes through the sales ring as a broodmare prospect.
Thanks, Joe. Yep, very exciting for all involved.
Yeah. Brad Spicer, one of the great guys of the industry there, Warren. Those Cullers have been successful for a long, long time now at the top level of racing in Australia and internationally, and Snap Dancer continuing the journey for them at the moment.
Racing, I noticed in the ownership of Snap Dancer, Bray Sikorsky. Now, she's a five-year-old mare, so this syndication was probably done some 7 years or so ago. Might have been early in the introduction of Bray to racehorse ownership. Obviously, racing in Brad's colours. Well, there's one owner that's certainly taken it to another level, Joe.
Yeah, and therein justifies that very point that we made during that discussion. All it takes is one person to be introduced through racing syndication, and you just never know how far that could go in the longer term, particularly once they get a taste of success. It becomes pretty addictive.
Yeah, it does, and it's a broader discussion about how people, you know, developed their passion and got involved in racing, and there's degree of similarity between Brad's and my introduction to racing, and Leon Corson's and his family are almost the catalyst for that. I had a small share in a horse that was originally syndicated by Harry Lawton, and it was a Bart Cummings trained horse, with Leon being the foreman down here. And Leon and Chris, his wife, and Troy and Kevin were so welcoming to me that really ignited my passion for racing. And I know from the time that Brad started getting involved, he came along a couple of years after I'd got involved with the Corson's family, he was treated in a similar way, and that helped pave the path for him to get introductions to people like George Smith, etc. So, you know, there's people in the industry whose role it isn't to develop people's passion for the industry, but, you know, myself, I'd look back at Leon Corson's and his family, and I think Brad mentioned exactly the same, that without their willingness to share their information and welcome you into the industry, it mightn't have, it could have been a totally different scenario to it is for both of us. So there's different ways to get involved in the industry. It's not necessarily through an academy, but you rely on people encouraging you to be involved. And yeah, Brad and I have got a real overlap there with Leon and his family.
about the journey with horses, whether they be performance horses that you ride in the competition arena or horses on the racetrack. The end goal ultimately is centred around success largely, but if the journey can be enjoyable to that point, win, lose or draw, you can really hook people in, and that's what I think it's got to be all about. And syndication has done huge things for the industry in regards to that. And you mentioned the name Harry Lawton. There's a blast from the past. The late Harry Lawton, he was one of the original syndicators in Australia and did an amazing job, a real character.
Yeah, it was the days before social media and probably even the internet used to, well, to get involved in the horse. A group of mates, we went around and sat at Harry's house in North Ringwood with his wife Pam, and he talked about the horse and we signed some papers and we bought a horse, but it was very hands-on.
Yeah, no, he was a great guy, Harry. I remember in my early days of venturing out to racetracks in the context of being a journalist, he was always a really good bloke to stand on the sidelines with and talk horses. He was very helpful to me early in my career. You never forget people like that.
No, you don't. And she's a very valuable broodmare now, Snap Dancer, when she ultimately does go through perhaps a broodmare sale. And Zaki yesterday, Joe, we've seen, you know, one of the banner horses of Australia return in winning form, and talking to Todd Pollard in the last 15 minutes or so, onwards and upwards to the Dooman Cup. And the Q22, perhaps a question mark with an eye to the Cox Plate, but good to see him back in winning form.
Yeah, amazing horse, isn't he, Zaki? He had the conditions to suit, didn't he, ideally yesterday with that sting out, but just all class and so dominant over his rivals yesterday, not in dissimilar fashion to the way he won the race exactly 12 months ago. So all roads ahead for him look to be very bright and exciting. That performance yesterday extending his record now to 12 wins and just over $7 million in prize money from 34 starts.
Before I let you go, Joe, having a glance at your social media during the week, you might need to beef up security at your property. Looks like one of the horses on your station has found a way to let himself out of his own box.
I know. I think I may groom him to be a movie horse. He's pretty clever. Yeah, an absolute escape artist who can now open steel gates himself and walk on through and break into the stables, so, or break out for that matter. He's a really clever horse. He's out of a stock horse mare by a quarter horse stallion, quite well bred and very highly trained as a reining horse, but easily one of the cleverest horses I've ever had, but subsequently one of the hardest to manage as well.
great to catch up, Joe. Look forward to chatting next week.
All right. Good on you, Warren.